Have you noticed that some people are spelling their names using all lowercase letters? We have. And that got us wondering about why people choose to do this. And even more, where'd all the capitalization rules come from anyway? It's a perfect chance to turn to our language expert. Ann Curzan is professor of English at the University of Michigan. And what's going on here, caps or no caps?
I think in order to understand what's happening now, it helps to go back in time. And as a historian of the language, I love going back in time. And when you look at the history of English in terms of capitalization, the very first thing you see is that it has not been stable over the last 1,000 years. I think in modern times, we can come to believe that you've always capitalized at the beginning of a sentence, or you always capitalize proper names because that's just what you do.
Or the first person I is always capitalized.
Always capitalized.
Yes.
But historically, that has not been true. If you go back to Old English and Middle English manuscripts, so this is 900 AD, 1300 AD, what you find is that proper names are often not capitalized. Sometimes they are, often they're not. Scribes in this period also often didn't capitalize at the beginning of a sentence. This was not an established practice up to this time. In the 17th century is when we start to see grammar books agree on the need to capitalize at the beginning of a sentence. They say, okay, this would be helpful in terms of reading comprehension. You have the full stop, the period, and then you capitalize.
And was the period being used back in the Middle Ages as well, or did they just kind of make us – it depended on the scribe, right?
Yeah, and certainly not the way we use it now. Punctuation was a little more sporadic, and different marks were being used in different ways. 17th century, we see agreement, we're going to capitalize the beginning of sentences, we're going to capitalize proper names, we're going to capitalize I. That goes back a few hundred years from there. But also in this period, they said you can also capitalize nouns that are of special note.
And you know what? I'm thinking of colonial era documents, and you're right. There are this random word with a big capital letter on it.
That's exactly right. And in German, nouns get capitalized. In this period in English, we're also seeing that you get what to us now looks like random capitalization. In the U.S. Constitution, in the Declaration of Independence, words like citizen, adoption, lives, fortunes, these are all capitalized. We just think, oh, that's 18th century documents.
Yes.
And that's exactly right. That is 18th century documents. It's right around this time, end of the 18th century, that some grammarians start to say, this disfigures your writing. This many capitals. We don't like it.
We're stumbling over too many capitals.
We're stumbling over too many capitals. And so it's the 19th century that we start to see prescription to say you should use lowercase unless it's at the beginning of a sentence or a proper name or I.
Yeah, and it is kind of interesting then with this thing that some of us are wondering about with the all lowercase names. When did we see this start popping up?
I'm not quite sure when it starts popping up. We do have examples of authors, of course, E.E. Cummings, bell hooks, who chose not to capitalize their names. My colleague in the English department, Melanie Yergo, points out that when we're texting or emailing, we don't have a lot of options for visual play in terms of creating a signature. If you're handwriting, you can create your own distinctive signature. Even if you're in a Word document, you can play with more visuals. But when we're emailing, we don't have a lot of choices. And I think playing with caps is one of the ways that we create signatures. Some people will play with initials. That will become the way that they sign off. And some folks will say, I'm not going to capitalize. I have to say, my name, for example, which is A-N-N-E, if you don't capitalize the A, it has a wonderful little look to it because none of the letters go above the half line. They all sit there. It's very symmetrical looking.
Very visually appealing.
Yeah, it is. I haven't quite gone to not capitalizing my name yet, but I'm thinking about it.
Well, does it say, I'm a rebel, I don't care about those grammar rules we learned in third grade?
I think it absolutely does suggest informality, a little playfulness, and probably also some creativity.
But I guess I'm wondering, in trying to make yourself memorable or expressing yourself, do you risk turning off – let's say you're an artist, you're a writer. Do you risk turning people off who might find this just way too precious or trying too hard?
I think people are making strategic choices around this. I have to say most of the emails I send are pretty formal within the university. I still capitalize my name. But I do see, even in formal emails at the university, one place where people are using lower caps, even in formal emails, is in their initials. that they will just have their first and last initial all lowercase, as I think they're suggesting this is efficient.
Efficient. Not artistic, but efficient. But for the person who's inclined to maybe color outside the lines a little bit, it's a good way to do that. Think this is going to catch on?
I think as long as we have email, it has a future. I just think technology is going to move so fast. Who knows what the next thing will bring? Perhaps we'll all be signing off in emojis.
U of M English professor Ann Curzan. Heard weekends on Michigan Radio with Rena Miller with That's What They Say. Thanks so much, Ann.
Thanks, Cindy.